It's 27 minutes past seven on Sunday Extra. Julian Morrow with you. Now we turn to the beleaguered nation of Venezuela, which on Wednesday this week was hit by 2 7-plus magnitude earthquakes within a minute of each other. The official death toll has risen to 1,430, and though rescue efforts continue, that number is expected to rise. Indeed, the government says at least 68,900 people have been reported missing. The disasters highlighted the impoverished resources of the Venezuelan state after decades of neglect under the repressive Chavista regime. That regime, of course, is in place even after America's shock raid on the 3rd of January to capture then-President Nicolas Maduro. Maduro is now facing trial in New York, and not long after capturing Maduro, the Trump White House said oil is starting to flow and that, quote, large amounts of money unseen for many years will soon be greatly helping the people of Venezuela. But as we'll hear now, 6 months on, even before the devastating earthquake, there was precious little sign of that improvement. Earlier, I spoke with Ricardo Hausmann, who's a former Minister of Planning in Venezuela. He's now Professor of the Practice of International Political Economy at Harvard Kennedy School. And just to note, this discussion took place before this week's earthquake hit Venezuela.
Thank you for this invitation.
So, Ricardo, has Venezuelan oil started to flow, and how has that oil fared in the market?
Well, Venezuelan oil has gone up by about 10% since January in volumes. We were at 900,000 barrels a day in December, and now we're about a million. Presumably in December, we were selling it at deep discounts because of American sanctions. Now it's being marketed by the U.S., so the discount on the price of Venezuelan oil has disappeared. Actually, Venezuelan oil is heavy, and for odd reasons now, heavy oils come at a premium for U.S. refineries in the Gulf of Mexico. And in addition, the price of oil has gone up by a lot, so there should be a lot more dollars being earned by somebody. They have not shown up in Caracas. The dollars are incredibly scarce. The exchange rate, which was at 500 or so bolivars to the dollar, is now at 830 or so. So major depreciation of the currency. People thought that with the improvement of the oil situation, we were going to see maybe a currency appreciation and maybe finally a reduction of all the inflationary pressures and so on. And what we have seen is an inflation acceleration and deterioration of economic activities associated with consumption and so on. So the situation in Venezuela has not improved economically, in spite of the fact that there has been some improvement in what should have been the generation of foreign exchange in the country.
Yeah, so what do we actually know about the flow of oil money then between Venezuela and the US? Where's the money actually going?
Well, we know that we don't know. And we know that the Americans and the Venezuelan government don't want us to know, because all the money is flowing into accounts controlled by the U.S. government under the direction of Marco Rubio, says the executive order. And the money is supposed to go for the benefit of the Venezuelan people. So it's almost 6 months of money that's been coming in. The U.S. government has not informed anything, how much money has come in, what have they done with the money. They have not informed anything. They have only informed of the first $500 million sometime in February by pressure of the U.S. Congress that put a precise question to Marco Rubio. Marco Rubio said, we sent $500 million. Since then, in February, they haven't said anything. So I don't know where the money is.
On Sunday Extra, we are speaking with Professor Ricardo Hausmann, former Minister of Planning in Venezuela, and now a professor at the Harvard Kennedy School. President Trump, Ricardo, has claimed that Venezuela is doing better right now than it's ever done in the history of their country, and that there's a sort of, well, he described it as sort of like a joint venture between the US and Venezuela. Despite the uncertainty, is it true that Venezuela is making more money now than over the last 25 years of the Chavista regime?
Well, when Chavez got to power, Venezuela was producing 3.4 million barrels of oil a day. And thanks to Chavista mismanagement, they destroyed the oil industry. And by December, they were producing only 900,000, almost a fourth of where they were when they got to power. So Venezuela was much richer before Chavez and much richer than it is now. Actually, GDP declined in Venezuela by 75% between 2013 and now. So that was the destruction done by the Chavista regime on Venezuela. And the situation now is no better than it was in December in terms of levels of consumption, people's standard of living. So there has been no recovery from this catastrophe that Venezuela has been under.
You mentioned the term recovery there. It is certainly the case that in the last week, President Rodriguez signed a deal with General Electric to rebuild Venezuela's electricity grid. And there have also been deals with Shell for various oil and gas projects. What do you make of those deals? And do you see them as part of at least a process of recovery?
Well, with respect to oil deals, everybody is wanting to get permission to concessions, you know, legal rights to some access to oil. And once they get those legal rights, they typically sit on them. Because in order to make money, you have to put money first. But the legal situation is so precarious that companies have not been willing to put new money into Venezuela. So the only people who have been investing in the country are people who have already operations in the country and are using part of their cash flow to reinvest. But there have been no significant flows of money of people wanting to invest in Venezuela. General Electric, I doubt that they're going to put a penny into Venezuela. They're going to be selling stuff to Venezuela and they will be, they're expected to be paid. So the money that is going to go to General Electric is part of the money that we're making with the oil income that we're generating. So it's no sign of great confidence. It's simply a sign that in the recovery of the Venezuelan economy, they are privileging General Electric over Siemens, for example, because Trump is American and not German.
So from what you've said, the economic situation is precarious, the legal situation is precarious. Could we move to the political situation now? This week, U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio told a House committee that ultimately Venezuela's future is, quote, free and fair multi-party elections. But he also said that there needs to be a recovery phase first. Is that a fair comment? And I wonder if you could compare that comment to what you see as happening on the ground in Venezuela in the last 6 months?
Well, Venezuela is a unified country politically with the opposition that has a very strong leader. The leader of the Venezuelan opposition was not allowed to run. So she appointed somebody that nobody knew to run in her place. That person got more votes than any political leader you can imagine. He won in all the states of the union, in 90% of 335 municipalities in the country. So Venezuela is a unified political country where there was an election that was won. And people could have expected that the Trump administration would have done the same thing that George H.W. Bush did with Panama when they invaded in 1989. They said Noriega, the dictator at the time, had stolen an election. They took Noriega out. They left the person who had won the election in power. This time, the Americans said, no, we're not putting the president who won the election in power. We're leaving everybody else that is in the regime in power. And over the last 6 months, they have not been willing to talk about an election timetable, a mechanism to elect an electoral council so that we can have elections, a mechanism to open the rolls so people can register for the elections. They have not legalized the political parties. They have not allowed political exiles to return to the country. They have put the whole political agenda in the freezer. And they have accelerated all these deals and so on. So it's all, if you want, the political friends of the Trump administration that have determined what is a priority for the U.S. government. And the priority has been oil rights, mineral rights. The priority has not been human rights, political rights, Venezuelan rights. But the point that I have been making for all of these months is that to invest, you need rights. Even the Shells of this world, the Exxons of this world, the Chevrons of this world, they are not investing in Venezuela because in Venezuela there are no rights. And without any rights, you don't put money at risk because they can do anything with you and with your money. So that's why I think that Marco Rubio has got the order upside down. In order to have recovery, you have to reestablish rights. The current interim president was not elected. She was appointed by Maduro. And Maduro was not elected. He stole an election. So she has zero legitimacy. In fact, the Venezuelan constitution says that if the president is absent, you have 30 days to call an election. It's been almost 180 days, and they have not called an election. So this is an unconstitutional government. So it's an attempt to try to kickstart an economy where people in that economy have no rights. And if there are no rights, there can be no investment. There cannot be any activity. 8.5 million Venezuelans have left the country. They don't feel that they can return under these conditions. So there's no human capital in the country to recover the country. So that is why the situation in these last 6 months have been so disappointing.
Ricardo Hausmann, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
Thank you for this invitation.
And Ricardo is professor of the practice of international political economy at Harvard Kennedy School and a former minister of planning in Venezuela. His recent essay in Project Syndicate was called The Rape of Venezuela.
Think bigger about the world we live in. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.